So obviously the first share of the year is under very, very different circumstances that we thought we would be learning together. Thank you to the Appelsons for opening up their home for this first share of the year. And I wanted to talk about ideas that we've all learned together before, but it's worthwhile to review them, to go over them, especially in light of everything that's going on. And the first idea is in Perek Bey's Pasuk Hey. We know that there are two accounts of the creation of Adam the Chava, and it's in the second, more detailed account that the Pasuk tells us, V'chol siach hasada terem yeh ba'aretz, v'chol esev hasada terem yitzmach, ki lo himtir Adonai Elohim ala aretz, v'adam ayin la'avodes ha'adama. The Pasuk tells us that there were no trees that had sprung forth, no vegetation at all had blossomed, meaning, even though on day three we're told that Hashem separated the water and there was the earth and everything filled the earth, it wasn't true. The more detailed account of creation here says, Lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, that nothing sprouted forth yet. Why? Because Hashem didn't make it rain on the earth, and there was no person, Adam ayin la'avodes ha'adama, to work the land. And Rashi says, what's going on here? Rashi tells us, v'chol esev hasadeh adayin lo tzamach, that all of the grass of the field didn't yet sprout forth, u'b'shlishi shekosov atotzei aretz lo yatzu. And on the third day, when it said that the earth brought forth, it didn't really come out. El al pesach karka amdu ad yom shishi. But rather, all the vegetation was like waiting at the cusp of the earth until day six, ki lo himtir, because there was no rain. Umatam lo himtir. And Rashi tells us what was the reason that it didn't rain. Lefisha adam ayin la'avodes adama. Because there was no person to work the ground. The inmakir betovasan shel geshamim, and there was no one that would recognize the greatness of rain. Kshaba Adam v'yada shem tzarach la'olam, and when Adam came and he recognized that there was a need in the world for rain, hispalal aleihem v'yardu, that he davened for them and then it came down. V'tzamcho ilonos v'adishoyim, and that's when all of the trees and all of the different types of vegetation and herbage came, you know, sprouting from the ground. And we know that this is a famous, famous question. Why did it happen this way? What we were taught in primer, what we were taught in kindergarten, what we were taught in first grade, isn't true? That in the third day, there was really no trees? The third day, there were really no plants? There really was no grass? Why did Hashem do it? Meaning, Adam was created, and the world was all like, it was a work site. It was a work site. It was all brown. It was all dirt. There was no greenery. There was nothing beautiful. There were no flowers. So why? Because Hashem made it that Adam would recognize that there was a necessity for rain, and he would lispalel aleihem v'yardu. He would daven for them, and they would come down. Rav Matzio Salomon Shlita, the Lakewood Mashkiach, himself should have refuah shleima. He points out in his Sefer Mamarim, I believe it was Beis, when talking about the Koach HaTfila, that the Gemara in Baba Kama says that there are Arba Avos Nezikin. The Gemara in Baba Kama, in the first mission of Baba Kama, Dav Beis Amid Aleph, Dav Yomi is going to start Baba Kama in a few weeks, less than a month. Dav Yomi is going to start Baba Kama, Seder Nezikin. And it says there are four major categories of Nezikin: Hashor, Habar, Hamaveh, the heather, shor, an ox, a bar, you dig a pit and something falls in, mave, Gemara says, what's mave? And then heather, heather is the fire. So what's mave? So the Gemara says, gimel medbez, it's a machlok, is one mandamer says, mave ze adam. Mave is a person. That a person is one of the arba avos nezikin, one of the four major categories of damagers. Why doesn't it just say adam? Why does it say Mave? And the Gemara says that the Pasuk used to convey the notion that Mava means Adam is a reference to the Kalach HaDibur in a person. Im Tevayu Bayu. And Rav Matisyahu Salomon says, this is so strange. This is so strange. The Gemara wants to tell us person. Instead, it uses a strange word that no one here has ever heard of. If you haven't learned Baba Kama, you've never heard of a human being referred to as a Mava. You've never heard that. Why is a human being called a Mava? What is that talking about? But Elamai, Zotar of Matisyahu, Mavim Tivayu Bayu means to, if you'll speak and you'll ask. So Rav Matisyahu explains, what's the Gemara teaching us? That the essence of a human being, of course, is the Kalach HaDibur. And we know that, of course, from the very, very famous Unculus in this week's Parsha. When Unculus translates, Vayodam Lenefesh Chaya, that the person was a live spirit, Ruach Mala, a speaking spirit. That's how Unculus translates, Nefesh Chaya. Ruach Mimala, a spirit that speaks. So Zot Rav Matisyahu, we see the chashivas of a person's speech in the beginning of Bereshis. We see, at the same time, the danger in a person's speech in the Gemara and Bava Kama. Because we're talking about the Arba Avos Nezikin. We're talking about the four major categories of those that cause damage, and a person is referred to as a Mava. As Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei, that Chaim v'amavis biyad alashon, something referred to in Koheles as well, the notion that the power of speech is mamish life and death. And the reason why Hashem created the world, that the whole world looked like a construction site, until Adam was brought into the world, and until Adam saw this and said, what's going on? Hashem, help me. That's what Hashem wanted. In Briyas HaOlam, in creation of the world, is the very notion that nothing happens without tefillah. Nothing happens without tefillah. Nothing happens without asking for it. And at the same time, we know the dangers of Dibur. As the Chafetz Chaim points out in the Hakdama to his Sefer, that the first sin of all time was what? What was the first sin this week's Parsha? Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas. Chafetz Chaim says it's not true. You know what the first sin was? The Nachash speaking Lashon Hara about Hashem to Chava. That was the real first sin. The first sin in all of history. Everyone thinks Adam and Chava eating the fruit. No. The first sin was the Lashon Hara, the Nachash spoke about Hashem to Chava. And that began the downward spiral. And again, the Nachash wasn't a Nachash. Rav Khan, Rav Ari Khan, and his website has a beautiful, very different type of analysis of the Chait, Ayin Sham. I forget what his blog, remember blogs? It's on his blog. I don't know if his blog exists anymore. But the Nachash was actually a humanoid creature. It wasn't what you see in the reptile house. The Nachash was a humanoid creature walking on 2 feet. It was like a Neanderthal man type, meaning it was a humanoid creature without Das, without Tzelem Elokim, which, as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, human beings can lose Tzelem Elokim and descend to worse than animals, which is, of course, what I've only read about. I haven't looked at any video, as Dr. Ronan suggested. I haven't looked at a picture. I haven't looked at a video. But what we have to recognize is that the first sin in all of creation was Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim says. People make a mistake. People think the first sin was machalas asuras, that we ate something inappropriate. He said, no, the first sin was Lashon Hara. And even if you want to say the Nachash was not a Bardeya, okay, so who did the first sin of Lashon Hara? Chava, by listening to it. Chava shouldn't have listened to the Lashon Hara of the Nachash. She shouldn't have been mekabel, the Lashon Hara of the Nachash. Do we see how dangerous this is? Do we see the koach of lashon, and at the same time, the koach of lashon for good, the koach of tefillah. Nothing happens without tefillah. That's what Matzio says. That's what the Torah is teaching us. That's what Rashi is teaching us. That's why this strange pasuk, v'chol siach hasada ter mia ba'aretz, v'chol esav hasada ter mitzmach, ki lohim tir adonai elohim ala aretz, v'odam ayin la'avodas adama, teach this pasuk to your children. Don't tell them the teachers were wrong. Tell them they just didn't teach you the full story, right? It's like Yehuda Tamar, they did not teach them the full story. I don't know if you learned that whole story in high school, right? The whole story, really the whole story of Briyas Adam highlights the koach of our tefillos, highlights the koach of dibur, bin latov, chas v'shalom bin lamutav. And so often we forget this. Rabbi Yehuda Adas is one of the great Svardi Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. His son, Rabbi Yaakov Adas, is more famous. His son, Rabbi Yaakov Adas, is the one who by the Kotel, who looks like a homeless vagabond. It's one of the biggest, like, mikubalim of our time. He's the one that's literally has a talus on all time. His shirt's, like, ripped. His shoes are torn. And the guy screams out, Amen! He answers every Amen Yishmei Rabbah screaming. You might have seen him by the call and thought he was like a hobo. He's like this deep, deep mikubal, mamish, like the biggest people have the greatest. So his father's Rabbi Yehuda Adas. Rabbi Yehuda Adas is a big Rosh Hashiva, Svardi Rosh Hashiva. And he was on a trip to Mexico to be Mechazik, the Yidden in Mexico. And there was a whole Kabbalah Panim for him. Again, this is one of the biggest Svardi Rishivas in the world. And there was an older Mexican man who came up to Rav Adas and said, Harav, Barcheni, Barcheni, bless me, bless me. And the Rav just gave him a Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, and didn't give him a bracha. The guy was very upset, this older gentleman. The next day, Rav Adas was giving a shiur in one of the big shuls, and the fellow went, and after the shiur was waiting online, people asking questions. And again, this older gentleman spoke Spanish and Arabic. He didn't speak Hebrew, but he knew Harav Barcheni means give me a blessing. And he says again, Harav Barcheni, Harav Barcheni. And again, Rav Adas gives him a Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Hope everything is well. But he doesn't say, give you a bracha. Third day, last day of the visit, this older gentleman shows up at the home that Rav Adas is staying at. One of the wealthiest Jews in Mexico. And he goes up to the gabbai and he says, ask the Rav, why won't he give me a bracha? I want a bracha from the Rav. I want a bracha. Ask him. I don't get it. He spoke to the gabbai in Spanish. The gabbai that was arranging the whole trip, that was from Mexico originally, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he went up to Rav Adas. Rav Adas, this old Jew, this old Yid is here again. And he wants to know why you're not giving him a bracha. And he said, translate, tell this to the man. He says, why do you want my bracha? Do you daven three times a day? This is what he said to him. He said, ask him, does he daven three times a day? And the gabbai said to him in Spanish, do you daven three times a day? And the old man was like insulted. He said, of course I daven three times a day. What kind of question is that? So gabbai says, Harav, of course he does. So then Rav Adas says, then tell him, he doesn't need my bracha. He is the brachas of Hashem. I'm no one. Who am I? I'm going to give him a bracha. If he daven three times a day, he's getting Hashem's brachas. He's getting Hashem's blessings. He's getting the shefa straight from Hashem. Why are you asking me? It was like the time I remember I was by the Kotel with Rav Moshe Wolfson, Mashkiach of Torah Vadas, Rav of Emun Yisrael in Borough Park, and someone came up to him, Mashkiach and Torah Vadas, Rav, give me a bracha, Mashkiach, can I have a bracha from the Mashkiach? Rav Wolfson looked at him, mamish confused. He goes, I don't understand. We're by the Kaisel, am I Ravi? And you're asking me for a bracha? Talk to the Eibushter. What? You asking me? Who am I? Talk to the Shechina that never leaves the Kosel. Don't ask me for a bracha. And what we have to recognize when we talk about the Koach HaTefillah is, as the Vilna Gaon said, and Rav Matisyo Salomon talks about this also, in another piece on Tefillah in Ma'amar and Beis, where he says that one of the biggest problems with tefillah is that we don't constantly work on being mechazik ve'emunah, that tefillah works. We have to work on being mechazik that emunah. And that's a very famous story that I've told many times, that when Reb Schneur Cutler was sick, and Reb Schneur Cutler was diagnosed with cancer at a relatively early age, and Talmidim of his who were living in Eretz Yisrael went to the Stipler Gaon and asked the Stipler, please daven for our Rosh Hashiva. He said, what's the name? Schneur Zalman. Okay, took the name. And a few months passed, and Reb Schneur was nifter from the illness. The Stipler happened to be davening in a minyan with one of those Talmidim of Reb Schneur. He called him over, and he says, it's only natural that you and your chaverim will doubt the koach ha-tefillah at this time. Because thousands of Talmidim of Reb Schneur were davening that he should have a refuah shleima. And he didn't. He says, but I want you to know, I have a Kabbalah ish mipi ish back to the Gaon of Vilna, that any tefillah that is said, believe any tefillah, it's really said with the heart, not just a tefillah that's said with the lips. It's avodah shebelev, not avodah shebisfasayim. Any tefillah that's really said with the lev, it is not possible. It's not possible that it's rejected. So you just might not know what the tefillah is used for. The tefillahs for Reb Schneur might go towards Reb Schneur's yeshiva, because he cared so much about the yeshiva. It might go to Reb Schneur's children. It might go to Reb Schneur's Rebbetzin. It might go to Reb Schneur in the next world, where I guarantee you the tefillahs are more powerful for him in the next world than they are in this world. And this is one of the major yesodos that we have to recognize right now, bein la tov, bein la mutav, for the good, and rachmala nislan for the bad. For the good, I said it when we were talking about the importance of Tehillim. In between Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, when we finished the whole book of Tehillim 2.5 times, I know not many women had the opportunity to come in between Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, but we shared an idea that the Rebbe Riatz, Friedrich Rebbe of Lubavitch, of Yosef Yitzchak, the Lubavitch Rebbe's father-in-law, said that if Jews understood the koach of Tehillim, you wouldn't stop saying Tehillim all day. You'd say Tehillim all day. You know, my daughter in her class has a Lubavitcher, and she complained, she says Tehillim so much better than me. I told my daughter, you know why? Because every Shabbos Mevarchim, Lubavitcher women and their daughters, when they reach like 6 or 7, say the whole Sefer Tehillim on Shabbos Mevarchim. They bring the girls together, the Afka, the women. They bring all the girls together and they give them candies and treats to say all of Sefer Tehillim on a Shabbos Mevarchim. And it takes them a long time. It takes hours. And sometimes they split it up amongst the girls and the mothers finish the whole thing themselves. But at the same time, even if you're not a Lubavitcher, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the person that when he was davening on the Lower East Side in his yeshiva, or in the Bialystoker, when he was davening there, he would have, it was like a thing amongst the little boys on the Lower East Side, who was going to be the one to hold Rav Moshe's Mishnayis for between the Aliyahs. What does it mean? The Rav Moshe Feinstein, as soon as the Baal Kriya finished his Aliyah, and the person said the bracha after the Aliyah, there was a boy that would open a Mishnah for Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe would learn Mishnayis. And as soon as the next person started his Aliyah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch, the Mishnah is closed. Meaning that's how much Rav Moshe valued every second. And I guarantee you, he finished lots of Mishnahs in those seconds, right? Especially if someone had a Misha Beirach, he could finish a lot. Mm-hmm. But yet Rav Moshe Feinstein, every day after he finished davening, you know what he did? He took out a Tehillim and he said to Tehillim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the greatest posek hador, undisputed, for kemat 40 years, the final address for any halachic issue worldwide, and had people waiting for his moment a moment of his time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, every day after davening, would zog tehillim. So what we have to recognize, what we have to believe, what Parshas Bereishis teaches us, is the kolach of tefillah, that it's built into Bria. Talk about the imahos, the akaros, misavela tefillason. What does that mean? It means that the whole world was changed by their tefillahs. We're still living today from the tefillahs of Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel. Not the avos. Many say the tefillahs of the imahos. Do we know what they meant to us? And this is something with everything that's going on. As Rav Matzioh said, we have to have emunah in our tefillah. We have to believe that it's making a difference. And Baruch Hashem, Mishkoyach Dasi, for setting up the Tehillim chat. I just posted it. She set it up. Right? How many times Tehillim has been gone through? How many times Tehillim has been gone through? And Baruch Hashem, the young men and women of the Kehillah saying it is also. Baruch Hashem, your children are seeing in your home what you're doing. Understand, it could be Mahapech Olamos. How many videos I do are the Chayalim who are saying, just daven for me, just daven, daven. Be mispalel for us, just keep saying Tehillim for us. Right? And so we have to know, going into Shabbos Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, Rav Moshe himself, quoted in the Sefer Kol Ram, talks about the importance of a person understanding the Koach HaTefillah. But on the flip side, God forbid, there's of course a danger. And the danger is the Nachash. The danger is the Lashon Hara. Because as the Chafetz Chaim points out in his Hakdamah, his halachic work, let's count the sins that were brought about by Lashon Hara. So first is the Chet HaKadmon, the first sin. It wasn't eating. It was Chava being Mekabelis, the Lashon Hara, about Hashem. Then we have the Lashon Hara that Yosef spoke about his brothers. That Chazal say was the reason that there was a Shibud in Mitzrayim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, Achei Noda HaDavar, we said this on Shabbat Beshuvah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Achei Noda HaDavar, when he finally leaves the palace of Paro, the gilded palace, and he sees Vayar B'Sivlosam, he sees their suffering, and he sees Dasan and Aviram fighting. And one's about to lift a hand to the other. He goes, Russia, Lama Sakis Riacha, Russia, why are you hitting your friend? And he says, oh, you're going to do to me what you did to the Mitzri? And Moshe says, Achei no da hadavar, which means, oh, now I see it's known, I have to run away. But Rashi says, Achei no da hadavar. Moshe said, I never understood why did you suffering like this. Now I know. Meaning it's a corruption of the very essence of a human being. Right, as we said, you know, you can train a parrot to say Shema Yisrael. You can train a parrot to say Shabbat Shalom. But they don't have dibur. They don't have das. That's who we are. That's what's unique of human beings. And Lashon Hara is the corruption of it. So that's three sins. Three sins already. The Nachash, the Chava, the brothers, Dasan and Aviram, Achino da Adavar, and what's the most famous Lashon Hara? The Miraglim. Before we get to Miriam, Miriam's the one after. We're going to get to that, friend. Thank you. The most famous is the Dibas Haaretz, the Miraglim. Tishabov, the Miraglim. 40 years in the desert. They're chazals that say if it wasn't for the Chet HaMiraglim, Moshe would have brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Mashiach would have come. Moshe's bias would have never been destroyed. All of the suffering in all of history, from Kenisas Haaretz till now, Chazal saying it's because of Lashon Hara, the Miraglim. Is that mind-blowing? And in case you want to understand the Hagdara of Lashon Hara, that's what the Rambam says. Why the Torah shares the Lashon Hara about Miriam? I forgot who asked me. Why does the Torah share the Lashon Hara about Miriam? That's not fair. Why does the Torah speak ill of Miriam? What's the answer? Because it's still Toelis. The Rambam says that the story of Miriam is supposed to teach us how we have to be afraid of Lashon Hara. You have to be afraid of it. Even though it was to her brother, about a brother that she loves, it was only questioning. And yet Hashem says, no, Miriam. Tzaras, chashuva kemeis. Chashuva kemeis, because of the tzaras. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? So five instances. And then what's the capstone of all of them? Of course, the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in the first parak of Yuma. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Right? First Beis HaMikdash, the big three. The big three. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Dam. The big three, the cardinal sins, as I referred to in translation. The three cardinal sins. But yet, Bayis Rishon, how long was the Churban for? 70 years. Bayis Sheni, why was Bayis Sheni destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. The Chafetz Chaim brings Kamam v'Kamam Mekoros, that you want to work on Sinas Chinam. Someone said to me, practically, how do I work on Avas Chinam and Sinas Chinam? I said, don't speak Lashon Hara. You want a practical way to look on it? When someone tries to speak ill of another, say no. Someone not in this community start trying to raise funds for a tztaka, started bad-mouthing another tztaka to me today, and I said, please do not talk. I tell the person, please stop talking. No, I just want to let you. I said, please, I don't want to hear it. Because people vying for the dollars from America said, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to, I'm not. No, it's Toeles, you should know. I said, I know what you're going to tell me, and I know it's not true. You're going to tell me that they're skimming off what they're making in this, you know, they're not giving straight on. But I know that this is going, every penny they raise now is going directly to help. So don't tell me that. And I stopped the person. I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from you. And this is what we have to do. We have to take a stand. That's how serious this is. It's not just, again, the Machsom Lefi, which is amazing. And Shkoyach to so many of you. Sheila, you signed up for like 8 hours. Thank you, Sheila. Sheila is a holy woman. Sheila is a very, very holy woman. You know? Mi'ira said she'd take an hour from you if you want. Just let it know. Okay. You know. But Lemaisa, I have to say that I did this with my shir, with my Talmidim in high school. I said, guys, we have 19 guys on our chat, 6:30 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. Everyone's taking an hour. Yes, I doubled up on my hour. Yes, I'm not only 1 hour. And one guy who's stuck in Eretz Yisrael said to me, Rebbe, I think I should take the 6:30 to 7:30 slot. Because for me, that's 1:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. I said, Shmuel, it's yours. I was wondering who's going to take that slot. Now I know. He said, Rebbe, I don't think I'm back till next Wednesday earliest. I'm like, okay, givaldig. And there's a chus of you not speaking Lashon. So we got a twofer there. You know, we doubled them up. But this is a real thing. This is a real, real thing. And I always think of what Rabbi Lamb said about the Chafetz Chaim. And I mentioned this on Shabbat Shuvah also. Rabbi Lamb said the Chafetz Chaim was a revolutionary. The Chafetz Chaim took socially acceptable behavior and exposed it for the evil that it is. That's what the Chafetz Chaim did. He took socially acceptable behavior and exposed it for the evil that it is. And now we know why. We read Bereishis. We see the Koach HaDibur. We see the first sin in all of history. It was with the mouth, but not the eating of the esrog, the grape, the wheat, whatever you think it was. It was the Nachash saying Lashon Hara about Hashem. And Chava accepted it. And Chava accepted it. And so these are two things that we have to work on. It's already late. I apologize. I know Michelle says she is only a half hour, but she lied. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I wanted to share one other idea. Instead of stopping, I thought we'd stop in the middle, but it's already late. I apologize. And Baruch Hashem, we're a lot of people. We'll finish all of Sefer Tehillim very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. It won't even be 10 minutes. And that is something else that we have to think about here. you know, it's a story that I told one of these WhatsApp groups that's asked me to get hacks me all the time to send me videos. I only do it once in a yovel. I get hacked all the time. So Baruch Hashem, they don't hack me too much. But one idea I shared that I got a random message from a guy in Shalavim after Lag BaOmer 3 years ago that this yesod, like, kept him going in, like, an unbelievable way. It was a story about the Skalina Rebbe, Zechus Yigen Aleinu. It's a famous story. I know I've told it before, but it's a story that we have to remember. The Skalina Rebbe, after the war, he stayed in Romania. And him and his Rebbetzin and his son were like a one family team of literally, physically, and spiritually saving thousands of people. They went all over Romania at the time, helping set up yeshivas, building mikvos. They say the Skalina Rebbe raised thousands of orphans, him and his Rebbetzin alone. Holocaust orphans that had no one. Him and his wife just took them in, just took care of them. It was unbelievable tzaddik. The Romanian authorities weren't too happy. They threw him in jail once. They threw him in jail a second time. And when he didn't stop these religious activities that they considered to be rebellious, they threw him into jail a third time. When they threw him into jail the third time, they took away his glasses. They took away his yarmulke. They threw him into a tiny dark cell with no windows, no light. And they told him, you're going to rot here until you die. And they shut the door on him. The Skolny Rebbe said, okay, I'm just going to daven. What else am I going to do? And there's still a clothes. He was able to put it over his head. And he's just davening all day and night. He's davening and learning whatever he remembers by heart. And the Skolny Rebbe is saying Baruch Shamar, taking a lot of time. Baruch Shamar, we know, tradition teaches us, came on a note dropped from heaven to the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. It's literally a tefillah from heaven. And what is it? It's all descriptions of the name of Hashem. All different aspects of the name of Hashem's name of Yud Hei and Vav Hei. But the Skolny Rebbe was saying Baruch Shamar, and he stops at one point when he gets to the phrase, Baruch Gozer Umekayim. Baruch Gozer Umekayim, the one who makes a decree and fulfills a decree. A gezeira has negative connotations. Why is this a praise of Hashem that he's Gozer Umekayim? That Hashem decrees like something bad, Umekayim, and he fulfills the bad. That's not a good thing. Everything else is a good thing. So he said he couldn't go on. And he was just saying the phrase over and over and over. Baruch Gozer Umekayim. And he said, with Siyata Deshmaya, he came to realize that Mekayim doesn't only mean to fulfill, but what else does the Mekayim mean? To sustain. Baruch Gozer Umekayim, the Skolny Rebbe realized, what does this mean? Yes, Hashem is the one who sends, for whatever reason, we don't know, Gezerah. We don't know why there's a gzeira rab. But when Hashem says gozer, he also says that sends the koach of umekayim. That Hashem sends the koach for that person going through the gzeira. Hashem gives him the koach not only to survive, but to be mekayim, but to thrive, to be able to grow through this. And there are kama v'kama stories. We're not gonna start the stories, but he was so mispoiled by this insight that he felt was a gift from Shemayim. He started dancing, and it was a long time. President Eisenhower and the UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld, the plaza that we're going to tomorrow for the rally, named for him, they intervened and they got the Romanian government to allow him to come out. But that was it. Otherwise, it's Skolny Rebbe. That was it. He was in solitary and he thought, mamish, that was it. And he was just davening and learning all day and night. President of the United States had to help to intervene. The Secretary General of the UN intervened to get him out. He's buried up in Muncie in the Ribnitzer Cemetery. His son also, the next Skolny Rebbe, who was Nifter a few years ago, also was buried up there right by his father. That's where they are, these two tzaddikim. And so what we have to recognize, Baruch Gozer Mekayim, is that the key to the kiyum is in emuna. We know that the Gemara in Makos, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, is the source, Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that there's 613 mitzvahs. It's a Gemara in the end, very end of Makos. And the Gemara then says, Moshe brought 613. This Navi said, this meant this, until Ba Chavakok Ve'midan Alachas. Chavakok came, and he said, really, all of Torah boils down to one mitzvah. What's the one mitzvah? Tzadik Be'munah So Yichyeh. Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet of the Navi Chavakok. Tzadik Be'munah So Yichyeh. He says, that's what it's all about. Now, what does that mean? Tzadik Be'munah So Yichyeh. What's fascinating is, who was Chavakuk? The Medrash tells us Chavakuk was the son of the Isha Shunamis that died, and Elisha brought him back. And because of that, Chavakuk Hanavi had a certain understanding that many Nevi'im didn't have. He died and came back. When Moshe had some questions, what does Hashem tell me? Tell him, Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'chai. And the Gemara says, a person can't see me, meaning, the Gemara says it means, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? A person can't see that, understand that, and still live. And Hashem tells Moshe, you want to understand that because he saw Rabbi Akiva, the famous Gemara, in Menachos that we've learned many times together. Hashem tells Moshe, leave this world and then you'll understand. You can't be in this world and understand. Chavakuk did leave the world. And the Medrash Ocher Tov tells us that Chavakuk had tremendous tainus against Hashem. Because he saw Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Again, he was Misnabe much earlier. But he saw what was going to happen. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They were thrown into the fire and they came out. But then at the same time, he also saw Rabbi Akiva. And he saw Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. And he saw Rabbi Elisha, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. He saw Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel butchered like an ox. It's not new. They've been doing this to us for thousands of years. And Chavakuk came to the Eibishter and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayitachem. Why do these tzaddikim get saved and those tzaddikim don't get saved? Why are there bad things happening to these good people but not those good people? Meaning he had an understanding more refined than Moshe in some ways. Just of this Nakuda. And Hashem told Chavakuk that these, you can't understand these secrets. These secrets will not be known until the end of days. Until the end of days. And that's why tzaddikim say Chavakuk is the one that's misnabe for the end of days. And Rav Wolfson points out numerous places in Emunah Sitecha that the emuna that Chavakuk is talking about is twofold. One, it's the emuna that Hashem runs the world. The emuna that Hashem runs the world. And when you have emuna that Hashem runs the world, what's the questions that you're bothered by? The question of why did that happen to Rabbi Akiva? Why are there bad people that are so successful? And those questions should bother a person that believes that Hashem runs the world. That does bother us. We struggle with it. But Ba Chavakuk Ve'midan Alachas, Chavakuk says, you can understand all Torah. There's one thing in Torah you can't understand. There's one thing, and the only way to go with that is Tzadik Be'munah So Yichyeh. You have to live with Emunah. And Rav Wolfson says, we've seen it in our days. Again, Rav Wolfson, Baruch Hashem, is long yarin, in his 90s. But the question, tomorrow is the Levaya for I think the last Holocaust survivor in our show. She was 97, although her daughter said she would think maybe she was 98. They don't know how old she was. Who went through Auschwitz. She hasn't been in shul, unfortunately, for years. She hasn't been well. Mrs. Sonia Samuels. The last Holocaust survivor in our shul's Levaya is tomorrow morning. We have questions? She and her husband raised from kids. She would come to shul with her two daughters, Marilyn Corman, Janet Jacobs, and the greatest smile on her face to see her grandchildren davening and great-grandchildren davening. I went to go see her. She said, Rabbi, blow me a kiss. Bye-bye. Don't have to stay. She's like, okay, that was the shortest visit ever. Like, literally, saw me, Rabbi. Bye. Pai. Like, okay, all right. I was in and out, literally, and her daughter and grandson felt so bad. I'm like, it's all good. I got a kiss from your grandson. That was awesome. I loved it. Ariel, she blew me a kiss. What more do I need? Right? And I've often said that the ones who gave me the right to have emuna were the Holocaust survivors that I met in Springfield. And I would talk to them about the suffering that they experienced and the fact that they came to America to live from lives. Do you realize how mind-blowing that is? Do you realize how crazy that is? And yes, I have my own questions now. Simchas Torah, I don't know. But I know they never got their answers. And we're not going to get our answers either. The answers will come. One day, not now. We don't know. But Rav Wolfson in another piece says there's another meaning to the statement of Chavakuk, v'chavakuk v'midan alachas. You know what that is? You have to believe in Yemos HaMashiach. Rav Wolfson points out that he thinks that's really what Chavakuk is saying. Which emuna? The emuna that Hashem runs the world, of course. But he says, developing it further, that a Jew has to believe in Yemos HaMashiach. It's one of the six questions that were asked. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us of Naf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. And what does it say? Sipisal Yeshua. You're going to be asked, did you anxiously anticipate redemption? Do you believe that it can happen? And, you know, the only way I made it through Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, I apologize that I missed the Youth Hak office. Anyone was there, I was planning on going to the Youth Hak office. But I was just learning Eish Kodesh all Shabbos, all Yom Shabbos afternoon. Eish Kodesh is the Torah that Rav Klomenes Kalman Shapiro, the Piasetz and the Rebbe, the Chavos HaTalmidim, gave over in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote them down, put them in a metal milk can, and they were discovered, the milk can was discovered when they were clearing the rubble of the Warsaw Ghetto, the American soldiers, and brought this milk can that had a letter on the top. You know, there were other writings of his and others. He wrote a letter in Hebrew. Anyone who finds this, if I'm no longer in the land of the living, please send this to my brother who lives in Tel Aviv. He had a brother who signed the Israeli, I think he was one of the signers of the Israeli Declaration of Independence, the Piasetzna. This Polish Hasidic Rebbe had a brother who was a big Mizrahi leader. I bought my copy of Chovos HaTalmidim, his work. Did I get my Chovos HaTalmidim or Eish Kodesh? From Rav Klomenes Kalman's great nephew, who was a big Srugi wearer in Alon Shvut. That was a great nephew of one of the biggest Hasidic Rebbes during the war. Was this big Dati Lu'umi fellow in Alon Shvut, right? But the Torah's there. Think about who he's talking to. Think about the Jews, the Torah's he's sharing. And one of the most important themes is the theme of Emuna. Emuna in Hashem, Emuna that we don't understand, but ultimately there is something behind this. Emuna that Hashem is so pained also, and daven for Hashem's pain. That's a major theme in the Sefer. As it gets worse, more and more, you see this notion of Hashem's pain in his Torahs. But the expectation that so many had in the camps, in the ghetto, that Chayas HaKodesh, the Srafim, were going to come down from heaven with fiery swords and just kill all the Nazis and kill all the guards. You know, a story that Rav Mordechai Mann, who was one of the administrators of the Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland, so he escaped the Nazis with Rav Chaim Stein Zatzal, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Telz in Cleveland. They were like hiding under train tracks in the snow. And it was at a great grandson's bar mitzvah. Someone said to him, Rav Mann, could you ever imagine when you were hiding under the snow
with Reb Chaim Stein that you'd be sitting, I think it was an Einikol's bar mitzvah, but there were already or Einiklach. It was a grandson's bar mitzvah, there were already great grandchildren he had from older grandchildren. You imagine that in 50 years from when you were literally hiding under snow, under train tracks, the Reb Chaim Stein, that in 50 years, you'd be at the bar mitzvah of an Einikol with or Einiklach there? And Rav Man said, of course I'd believe that. But if you told me that in 50 years I'd be by the bar mitzvah of an Einikol with or Einiklach there, and Mashiach wasn't near yet, that I wouldn't be able to believe. Because I can't imagine where's Mashiach with everything we lived through. And I know people are getting very excited. There's Gog and Magog, there's Achris HaYamim. I don't get excited by war on any level. On any level, I don't get excited by war. Maybe it's because my 5 nephews are in. Maybe it's friends whose sons are in. You know, it's a very painful time for all the Jewish people. And we don't go about our daily business. But we have to be mechazek ourselves in Yimos HaMashiach, Tzipisa LeYeshua. It could all end tonight. It could. Ani mechakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. It's one of the ani mamins, b'muna shalema, b'vias HaMashiach. I believe each and every day. People used to think I was crazy when I would tell my students in Berea, I still tell my Talmidim on Erev Shabbos, I hope not to see you in Tinek on Monday. I hope to see you in Yerushalayim. Believe it. Any day could be like this. And we have to believe in our tefillos. We have to believe that Hashem runs the world. And because we believe Hashem runs the world, we have very painful questions. Because we believe Hashem loves us. And so we look at what's happening and we don't understand. And we struggle. Yes, we struggle, of course. Rav Soloveitchik writes in Halachic Man, living a life of Judaism doesn't mean a life of serenity and calm. It means a life in which your soul is ripped apart. It means a life of struggle. It doesn't mean that everything's great. Tzadikim, on the highest levels, you're bal bitachon, on like the altar of Navardik's level. Maybe then you mamsh don't feel anything. Maybe then you mamsh, you're not phased by anything. I'm not near that. I'm phased. I'm rocked. I can't get it through Shmona Esrei. Saying certain brachos in Shemona Esrei without crying. I wasn't ready for last night, Maariv. I couldn't get through Shemona Esrei. I couldn't get through Shemona Esrei without tears all over my face. And it happened at Shacharis, and it happened at Mincha, and it happened at Maariv. I guess to a certain degree, I hope it keeps happening. I hope it doesn't stop. But I think that Parshas Bereishis, we have to know what Parshas Bereishis represents. We said last year from the Tikkuni Zohar that Parshas Bereishis represents an unbelievable new beginning. The kochos of the new year. Many say Tikkuni Zohar really comes to fruition in Shabbos Bereishis and from Shabbos Bereishis to the whole year. There's no Nevuah Bizman as a. I'm not a Navi. I'm not a Ben Navi. Just trying to live with Emuna. And it's difficult. But we have to believe in what we can do. Bein Latov, Bein Lamutav. We have to really up our tefillos. We have to up our brachos each and every day. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, as a whole sefer, Mevarach Yisparach, he's spoken about this many times. When people ask him for segulas, he always says, 100 brachos a day. Does that mean maybe you should daven Maariv? I will say davening Maariv gets you a lot easier to 100 brachos than if you don't daven Maariv. Or just go to the bathroom a lot. Drink a lot and go to the bathroom a lot. That could also get you to 100 brachos. You know, or have snacks all day. And keep walking inside and outside of your house. If you want to know what that means, if your husband's done SEP, ask him. He'll explain what that means. the opinion that every time in a sucking candy you walk out of your mouth, out of your house, you say one bracha, in you have to say another bracha. Mamash, that's what Chazon Ish said. It's very easy to get to 100 brachas that way.
That's what Rachel spoke about when you were away.
Oh, yeah? That cheek of the Chazon Ish. But we have to recognize. We have to recognize the tremendous yesod. And I understand it's an uncomfortable yesod. It's from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's a Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos. And I don't mean to be offensive by this, but the Mishnah tells us... Wait, excuse me, no. The beginning of the second parak. Rabbi says, Da malamalam imcha. He says, know what's above you. Ayin roa, an eye that sees... Ozen shomas, an ear that hears, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, and all your deeds are written in a book. Now you know this pshat is true because both the Chassidim and the Misnagdim both say this. This is quoted from Baal Shem HaKadosh and in the Ruach Chaim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the primary Talmud of the Gaon Mevilna. They both say, da mala mala, know that everything that happens above, mimcha, is from you. You have the ability to affect what's going to be in Shemayim. I don't know what the gezeiros are in Shemayim, but I know that in Shul, right now they've said only in Shuls where you have Tefillah B'Tzibur, we started saying Avinu Malkeinu. We said Avinu Malkeinu, Len led us in Avinu Malkeinu tonight. And that was based on the psak of the chief rabbinate in Israel, based upon the psak of Rav Shechter and YNYU, all the minyanim are saying Avinu Malkeinu after Chazaras Hashatz. And I announced that before Mincha, and Shelly opened the Arum, and Len was crying through a lot of Avinu Malkeinu. Because Da Malamala, Mincha, there's a time we all have to step it up. There's a time we all have to know that the reason why a person was created yichidi, the Gemara tells us, v'shvili nivra olam, and that we have the whole world in our hands. The whole world is in our hands. That's why we have to look at it. That's why we have to take it very, very seriously. Everything we do at a time like this. And we should daven, we're learning right now, we should be extra careful again in Shmiras HaLashon, in Avas Yisrael, Davin, Hashem. We Davin, Hashem should help us with Lashon Hara. It's the first line after you finish Shmon Esrei, Elokai Nitzar Lashoni Meiros Vasai Medaber Mirma. The first thing we say when we finish Shmon Esrei, Elokai Nitzar, Hashem, protect my mouth. But Davin, Hashem, Hashem, help me love other Jews. Help me open up my heart that I should feel real love for all other Jews. You think it's an easy thing? You daven. Daven. Tefillah is what makes everything happen. Beruchnius or begashmius. Spirituality and physicality. And so I hope next week we learn Parshas Noach together in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. I hope. I mean, Mamin B'Emunah Shleima. B'Vias HaMashiach. Yikimamish be tonight. Can mamish be tomorrow, and don't worry if you don't have a suitcase packed. You won't need it. They actually have good stores in Israel now for like clothes and stuff. There's, actually, my daughters buy clothes in Israel, so like clearly they have good clothes stores in Israel, right? But it mamish can be. And as one major says, "Bizchus emuna nigalo," it was in the zechus of the emuna that the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. Bizchus emuna sidin ligoel. And it's in the Zechus of Emuna, in Tzipisel Yeshua, as Rav Wolfson says, Chavakuk, says Bach Chavakuk, V'amida na'alach, Sadik v'emuna se'yichya, to have that Emuna in Hashem, the Emuna in Yemos HaMashiach, that the days are coming, the great days are coming, that will be Zocha, Be'ezus Hashem, Umach Hashem Dima, Me'al Kalponim, Hashem will wipe away the tears from our faces. Shkoach. So now, we'll just go through Sefer Tehillim.